Hello, friends. We're continuing our work with externalization of the hierarchy, and this is program number 74. The date is the 10th of June, 2020. And we've been talking about the externalization of the first and second ray ashrams, or parts of them anyway. And we've been dealing now with the fifth ray ashram and its deep understanding of energy, its mastery of energy. So allied with the efforts of the first and second ray, disciples and initiates will be the disciples on the fifth ray, whose task it will be to lead mankind into the benefits of the atomic age. We've had some of that in the production of energy, but have had a lot of problem with determining what to do with nuclear waste, and the possibility of poisoning our environment is very real. Now, let me plug this in. Hopefully, this will work. The occultist has ever proclaimed that the field wherein the hierarchy works is that of energy. And I talked about the need to really define this word, because the ordinary and somewhat superficial definitions of the word maybe are not adequate. Perhaps we have the issue of thinking about essence, being, and energy all together. And every emanation from the great universal logos is an energy. The occultists, they have been taught that there is nothing in existence but energy in some form or another, either movable or immovable, but it seems that we're used to the dynamic aspect of energy, the movability of it. Still, there are energy reservoirs in which it would be hard to detect movement. But in a way, every emanation is a going forth and a movement relative to other going forths. And that we all see, says the Tibetan, all with which we daily work, including our own material natures, all that we see, including our own material natures, mental, emotional, and physical, and all that produces phenomena, that which is observable, let us say, at least at our stage, is energy in relation to forces, or forces as they are directed by energy. Forces are more like concretized energies. They are more related to form per se, and they are directed quite specifically towards certain targets or objectives. So we are on page 579, and we're talking about the emergence of the fifth ray disciples and initiates representing the fifth ray ashram, of which presumably Master Hilarion is the present head. This, the emerging group of disciples, will incontrovertibly prove. They will prove the relationship between forces and energies, and that all is energy, at least all that we deal with. Now, you know, there can be a question of whether the absoluteness is energy or anything specifiable, but that which comes forth from it, by whatever means we think that occurs, that which comes forth is energy. And from the energies come the forces. And the forces are targeted. They have their own target and they have their own direction. Okay, so all this, the emerging group of disciples will incontrovertibly prove by their efforts the new civilization will be created in which humanity will have time for freedom, for the deeper educational considerations, and for political activity of a spiritual kind. Okay, we have to remember that the seventh ray cycle is its own cycle. It coincides with the oncoming of Aquarius, but through Aquarius, the great fifth ray is expressed always, at least at this present time. And even though the major dispenser of the fifth ray now is the constellation Leo, it will soon be Aquarius. You know, we can think about why Leo, but Leo makes the distinction between the self and the not self, and the fifth ray rules the law of cleavages, and there is definitely a cleavage in the perception of the self and the not self, though ultimately they are the same. So there will be time for cultivation, for deeper educational considerations, for a political activity of the spiritual kind. Science will produce a world wherein labor, as we now know it, will be abolished, and every phase of man's life will be implemented by science, assisted. You know, we're already entering this robot period, and people look at the robots, and there are many possible abuses, but they look on with fear that they will be replaced, when in fact these mechanisms are bringing a type of a new liberation to so many. Maybe if I okay, if I choose the Golden Gate Bridge, maybe it will be a little clearer. See how rapidly one can move. Okay. So labor as we know it, the whole idea, you know, that, let's look at the life of women over the past centuries and how condemned to mindless labor they have been in usual circumstances. The men have labored, but maybe they have had more freedom. Okay, so we'll be abolished, that labor as we now know it, and every phase of man's life will be implemented by science, not in order to make him more comfortable or more like a robot or more selfish, but as an aspect and outgrowth of true freedom. See how the fifth ray and the first ray are united? The fifth ray finds itself absorbed into the first ray. The first ray and Uranus bringing freedom. And that's one of the factors we discussed just a little while ago. The very first point was individual freedom coming in the freedom of the individual is one of the major values. These freedoms have been voiced for us by in the four freedoms, and we know. That's no good, is it? So let's get rid of that. We can. Speech, worship, want, and fear. Freedom over from of or from these four. Okay, let us proceed. So the fifth ray will provide the individual freedom which the first ray promises, and the right kind of laws and safeguards under the first ray will guarantee that freedom. We have to remember that there are these beings working in Shambhala now that are called the Lords of Liberation, and they are those who seek to bring increasing freedom for cultivation to humanity. Men will be free to think. You know, die Gedanken sind frei. You know, the thoughts, it's an old kind of folk song from Germany. My rights they may deny, die Gedanken sind frei. My thoughts are free nonetheless, even if they deny me my outer rights. Men will be free to think, to establish new modes of cultural interests, and free also to unfold the higher abstract mind and to interpret its conclusions through the medium of the trained lower concrete mind. I guess if you are made to concentrate constantly on the formal, the immediately formal and concrete, you have no freedom to range in the mind in the higher areas of abstract thinking. So the new disciples on the fifth ray will know that matter is energy, and condensed energy is that which we know as matter. Okay. Now, going on. The united work of these three groups of disciples, first ray, second ray, fifth ray ashrams, the disciples and initiates representing those ashrams. So their united work prepares the way for the externalization of the hierarchy. This preparation is already underway and taking definite form, though as yet the efforts are embryonic and the workers very few in numbers, relatively, of course. So first, the droplets which presage the monsoon, as we've been told by Master K.H., a few drops do not make a monsoon, but they presage it. A beginning has nevertheless been made, and great changes will take place during the next 25 years, so that would take us up to about 1970-71. These will indicate the general structure of the new world of culture And of course, we did have so much of the consciousness revolution occurring in the middle to late 1960s and early 70s, thus including the period referenced. So, excuse me, these changes will indicate the general structure of the new world of culture, will emphasize as normal the higher concepts of the so-called visionary world planner, and lay the foundations for the work of the other ashrams when the time for an expanded effort arrives. Somewhere, I think, well, Master DK does deal with the gradual emergence over many, many years, millennia, of the different rays and their ashrams. But somewhere, I think, the rays which will be manifesting during the externalization, their order of appearance is given. Always, it seems, the first ray, second ray rather, is first. But in the externalization, the first ray is right up there in terms of its appearance. But when we talk about over the millennia and even millions of years, the first ray ashram is the last ashram to appear, probably because the real will is so poorly understood. When the three major ashrams have done their work, and this work, in spite of the difference of ray, is largely educational, then the other ashrams will slowly send in their representatives to cooperate and to continue with the task. So this is an aspect of the plan, that these three ashrams should first emerge, at least a sufficient number of their personnel should emerge. And then the others will find their way paved. Maybe we'll run into that order that we are seeking. I know, let's see, I think if I was to look in the rays and the initiations, and I were to use this kind of 2-7, maybe not, maybe 2-7-4, it's probably a page number. Yeah, it's, I'm not going to find that easily. But I think when we come to the emergence of the ashrams, when they first appeared, we will have number sequences like that, and the first ray ashram will be the last. What is it? How does it go? Well, anyway, I'm not going to worry about that right now. It's there, and it's in the rules. Oh, well, you know, one just tries to do something. Let's see here. Is it the seventh ray ashram? Ashrams? Two. Well, maybe we'll get something out of it. Yep, there it is. There it is. So, since that time, all the major, I guess it's quite early, the when the Christ achieved this, he was deemed worthy of embodying in himself a new principle in evolution, and of revealing to the world the nature of the second aspect. He will be on the ray path. the divine principle of love, as humanity calls it. Since that time, all the seven major ashrams have been fully organized and are steadily increasing in radiatory activity. You will have noted that the order of their appearance under ray activity was 274-6531. In giving this item of ashramic information, I am giving you more hints than you will immediately realize. So this is not the externalization that we're talking about, the modern externalization of the hierarchy. This is simply the appearance on the world stage of the ashrams, even though they had to withdraw after the Great War. Okay, so let's see if I can do this. And yeah. Now maybe we can also, we have some kind of sequence here in the 215, but maybe there's more someplace to be found about the sequence of ashrams appearing in our modern externalization. And in order to distinguish this, I'm going to have to make it smaller. There we go. All right. The first ashram to do so, following the one, the 275, which you see is not the same as the sequence of numbers here, but the additional ashram based upon the foundation of ashrams 2, 1, and 5, the first ashram to do so will be that of the third ray. And by the time disciples appear from that ashram, the world will be ready for an all-over financial adjustment. The principle of sharing will be a recognized motivating concept of the new civilization. It's such an Aquarian type of tendency, the pouring out of gifts for others, necessities, really. This will not involve beautiful, sweet, and humanitarian attitudes. The world will still be full of selfish and self-seeking people, but public opinion will be such that certain fundamental ideals will motivate business, being forced upon business by public opinion. And this we already find to be the case. Business interests have to be very sensitive at this time, not just to their investors, but to a broader public opinion, which can elect representatives, which can work against the old bad ways of doing business. So a good public relations presentation is always desirable. The fact that the new general ideas will, in many cases, be governed by expediency of interplay will not basically matter. In other words, what can you do fastest, easiest, and according to the law of economy? It is the sharing that is of importance. When the adjuster of finances, as an advanced disciple from this ashram, is called in, as an advanced disciple from this ashram is called in the hierarchy, appears, he will find the conditions greatly changed from those now prevalent, and this to the following extent. Well, I'm trying to put this all in green, you know, because it's about the third ray and the financial work of the third ray. Okay, so there will be the emergence of this adjuster of finances from the third ray ashram. Very interesting. Okay. The appearance of the adjuster of finances is expected. What will he find? Well, first of all, the principle of barter and of exchange, a special kind of barter and exchange that DK has not detailed yet, to the benefit of all concerned, will control. Now, we are far from that. We have a standardized unit of value in the currencies of the various nations. And for the moment, it's maybe the American dollar, but it will not, it is under threat because of the irresponsibility of America's approach. Then you will find conditions greatly changed. All right, so we don't know when this will be, but it's interesting to see what will change. Owing to the development of atomic energy on behalf of human welfare, national currencies will have been largely superseded, not only by a system of barter, but by a universal monetary exchange, representative of the bartered goods when they are relatively small and unimportant, and by a planned scale of relative values. National material assets and the needed commodities will be provided for under an entirely new system. So these commodities will all be provided for. Now, that's how it goes. All be provided for under an entirely new system. And finally, point three here, private enterprise will still exist, but it will be regulated. The great public utilities, the major material resources, and the sources of planetary wealth, iron, steel, oil, and wheat, for instance, will be owned in the first place by a governing, controlling international group. They will, however, be prepared for international consumption by national groups chosen by the people and under international direction. So we can see that the selfishness of the privateer as it exists in industry will no longer be functional. Regulation is coming, and we have to remember that we are entering Saturn, entering Aquarius via Saturn, and Saturn is ruling that first decanate and is one of the rulers of Aquarius, and it is the planet of control. So you sense here a lot of control, a lot of fairness, a lot of distribution. It is the making available of the things, the necessities of life, and more to everybody who can benefit from them. And we will not have this incredible dearth and glut the way we have it today, where due to people's greed in one place of the world, others in another place are reduced to poverty, starvation, and death. So that will change. Yeah, the atomic age, not fully appreciated yet for what it can bring of freedom and change and the reorientation of new systems of exchange, reorientation of the monetary system. Can we stand this regulation? I think so often in the United States, it is looked at as a great infringement against the license of the personality. But the personality ways will be proven to be unsuccessful. And public opinion will demand a new way, and the disciples and initiates will be there to offer a new way of proceeding. Not that they will necessarily be recognized for the hierarchical relationship that they possess. So, all right, this is a third-rate subject, and DK basically says, upon this subject, I have no more time to give, and besides this, anything I could say would be regarded as visionary and impractical in a world which has not yet been subjected to the educational processes of the disciples and initiates. On the first, second, and fifth rays, or to the fundamental changes which the new generation of young people, now growing up, will shortly inaugurate. So he doesn't, let's just say, avoiding futility. Okay. Will shortly inaugurate. I don't think astral vehicle is what I meant to say. I meant to say avoiding futility. And let me get the Okay, upon this threefold condition of the basic control, now he's just given us three, involving regulation and a new method of barter and exchange, which will not involve the element of cheating or trying to get something for nothing, you know, or of outsmarting the one you're bartering with. So the new barter and exchange, the new atomic energy, and a reduction of private enterprise, or at least a regulation of those energy generators, resources, wealth, etc. These three things will be emergent. And upon the subject, he has no more time to give, but he anticipates it and he has alerted us to it. So upon this threefold condition of the basic control of the products of the planet, these third ray disciples working under the senior initiates mentioned above, you know, the adjuster of finances, etc. These third ray disciples will build the new structure of material relationships, a most difficult task owing to the evil pull of these substantial assets and the continued control, even though greatly lessened, of human selfishness. This pull is regarded esoterically as evil because it embodies the principle of imprisonment, maybe of the lesser lives of the planet, and has for untold eons engrossed the attention of the human being to the exclusion of all true values. So, basic control. Okay. That's coming. It's not going to be a free-for-all. It's going to be precisely measured. And people will be, in a way, protected from their own ignorance when they engage in exchange, so the exchange can be to the benefit of both. Okay. Control. And the group will control the license, the greed, the grasping of the selfish individual. And the welfare of the group will be the major theme. Later, disciples and initiates on the seventh ray and of the sixth ray will come into physical incarnation. So what do we have so far? 1, 2, 1, 5, 3, 6, 7. And all that's left is ray 4, I think. Later disciples then initiates on the seventh ray and of the sixth ray after the tendencies to reactionary orientation have been expunged in the sixth ray types, and a more universal idealism can be presented to which people will adhere. Later disciples and initiates of the seventh ray and of the sixth ray will come into physical incarnation. The only ashram which will be then unrepresented, and this for a long time will be the fourth, even though the fourth ray is coming in from its monadic aspect in the year 2025. As the fourth ray is, however, the constant ray of the human family, its influence is consistently present. And this ashram is equally constantly aware of and influential in human affairs. Now, right now we have the warlike response, but under the fourth ray, harmonization and cooperation can emerge, and certainly the coming renaissance of the probably early Aquarian age will make its imprint and will teach us the beneficent use of the fourth ray rather than a use which involves constant friction and contest and, you know, ultimately opposition. So as the fourth ray is the constant ray of the human family, its influence is always present, and this ashram is equally constantly aware of the influential aware of and influential in human affairs because of the numerical resonance. It will come into full expression when the intuition of the human being emanating as an energy from the fourth or Buddhic plane has been evoked by the human soul and is a recognized asset in human consciousness. The fourth ray will come into manifestation before many generations have passed, but only from the angle of its incarnating monad and not from the angle of its active ashram. And that's an important statement. But then again, we have to figure out what it means that the monad of the fourth ray is again coming into manifestation. Maybe if we sit with ourselves long enough and thoughtfully enough, we can come to it. So far then we have the two, the one, the five, the six, the three, and the six. Two, one, five, three, six. That's about half, really. Well, it's more than half, really. It's 5/7. The fourth will be toward the end. So 2, 1, 5, 3, 6. Two, one, five, three, six. That's 5. 4 is at the end. What am I leaving out? Well, actually, the seventh ray is already given. So 2, 1, 5, 3, 7, 6, 4. Let's maybe write that down. 2, 1, 5, 3, 7, 3, 7, 6, 4. I think that's pretty much it. And we can use this, think of this as the order of the externalizing with my E. Okay. This is, or you can think of this as the order of the externalizing ashrams. We'll get a little bit if I just repeat it. So I'm going to make this quite big so that we can contrast that with two. How does it go? 2, 7, 4. Let's see here. Somehow this must be here. Maybe I can find that. I shouldn't be losing it like that. Ah, yeah, 2, 7, 4, 6, 5, 3, 1. So let's just say, contrast the above with that. And then we'll have an idea not only of the appearance of the ashrams over many millennia, many many millions of years, really. But we'll have an idea of the mode of externalization, the order of it now. Okay. Once the contact in physical manifestation and physical recognition has been established, a system of appearances and of abstractions will be instituted by the hierarchy, producing what might be regarded as a circulation of its life and representatives between the two major planetary centers, the hierarchy and humanity. So first the contact, and then the coming and going of the members of the hierarchy as their time comes to cycle in or cycle out. I don't think he's going to give us the details here, but according to cycle and according to need will be the coming in and the going out of the members of the hierarchy. So it will be an interesting question of appearances and abstractions. What it means is that not all members of the hierarchy will, or even the externalizing members, will be necessarily before the public eye at all times. According to the need upon the physical planet and upon the acceptance of certain designs, will an ashram be prominently active or relatively inactive? So adaptation to need is a big issue, and probably determining the coming and going, the appearance and disappearance, but probably the science of cycles has to be considered as well. It all sounds quite complex in a way, but hierarchy is equal to knowing the hour, the times and the hour of a more extroverted presence compared with introversion and withdrawal. And it will all be for the benefit of the kingdoms of nature and for the planetary divine plan. The ancient activities of the hierarchy will still persist. The activities of preparing disciples and initiates for initiation and for participating consciously in hierarchical effort. Okay, so in addition to all of these new things being undertaken, the ancient activities will also abide. The schools of the mysteries, as outlined by me in Letters on Occult Meditation, will come into being and practice, but this will be temporarily a secondary activity. The full expression of ashramic energy will be directed to practical world affairs and to the education of the general public, and not in the early stages to esoteric matters. Though I'm sure that it helps for those who are working practically in the new group of world servers to be themselves informed of the esoteric underpinnings of the work, plan-related work they have to take, carry forward. In the last analysis, there is for the master and his disciples no such thing as esotericism, except insofar as Shambhala is concerned. I mean, the two subplanes out of seven, which are considered not Brahmic but truly esoteric, are the second and the first. So Shambhala is still very esoteric, very unknown to the average master. But a point is being made here. There is only definite and planned work with the consciousness of all forms. And where humanity is involved, this is regarded as a process of education, leading to an expansion of perception and the changing of acquired academic knowledge into an overshadowing and conditioning wisdom. So here is the point. Whoop. That's not what I need. I tend to forget. Right. So, educating and transforming knowledge into wisdom is the first ashramic duty or enterprise. There will be esoteric education, and the new schools will come into existence, and the science of initiation will be taught, but humanity must be tended to. And right now, the veil of ignorance is very thick. The implementing of human affairs to bring about this unfoldment in consciousness is in the hands of disciples who are undergoing the process themselves. And it is not in the hands of the masters, whose consciousness is fully expanded, a consciousness entering a higher and greatly different phase, connected with being. You know, Shambhala is the, in a way, the home of the recognition of what being is. The essence of the monad is being, and the monad inheres in Shambhala on that level. Levels number 2 and levels 1 out of 7, 2 and 1 out of 7. So their consciousness is entering a higher and greatly different phase, connected with being and life and the purposes of Shambhala. Okay, friends. So we have to put first things first. Now, some of us, I have to include myself, have been working on the what I call the esoteric schools. But of course, it's really a general education process, alerting humanity to their greater potentials. It's not the substance of the real esoteric schools, which will appear gradually, when the great Lord appears. And I wouldn't be surprised if schools which are related to the rays appear as the rays involved in the externalization appear. And so when we look at those 14 schools, 7 preparatory, 7 advanced, it may very well be that schools related to this sequence will follow that sequence in their appearance. This is speculation, okay? But certainly the second ray always seems to come first. I guess, you know, we're talking particularly about the preparatory schools. We cannot and maybe should not say too much about the advanced schools, but strangely, when he writes in Letters on Occult Meditation about these schools, he even seems to suggest that there are movements afoot and 100 years ago, which would lead to the emergence of the advanced schools. A lot of these details about timing, you know, are best left to those who really know, best left to the masters. We're liable to make all kinds of errors, and of course, the masters are adaptable to human need, and that's how the ashrams will externalize the timing of them according to what they can do to meet human need in the right way. So there are just many mysteries, just given the normal reading. I mean, what do we say? The fourth ray ashram will not appear immediately, but it will appear from the point of view of its incarnating monad. Now, does that mean that people with their monad on the fourth ray, on the monadic plane, as that is certainly possible, all seven monadic types are there, will soon appear. And the influence will be very strong toward peace, the peace that is to reign for the symbolic 1,000 years when, you know, Satan, the personality, from one perspective, is bound, but not the ashram itself. And maybe as a greater interaction between man and devas begins to occur and to be evident, then Master Serapis, who has been training the devas to relate properly to humanity, maybe he and or some representative and his ashram or some initiates and disciples will then appear. We have to remember there are 5 planetary centers at this time, and not all rays are the rulers of these planetary centers. 6th ray New York, 1st ray London, 2nd ray Geneva, 1st ray Darjeeling, 1st ray Tokyo. A lot of first ray there, but not the 4th ray, although Japan and Tokyo have a lot of that 4th ray. Not the 5th ray, though Darjeeling has a 5th ray personality. Not the 7th ray either, interestingly enough. Well, in this fifth root race, 5 major centers appear. Their number will increase, I suspect, to 6 in the 6th root race, and finally 7 in the 7th root race. All of this is also we have to look at the various chains and when they will be activated as part of the divine plan in a more obvious way. Our 4th chain is very activated, but the 5th, 6th, and 7th chains, not yet, or at least not in any way that we know. So these are the intricacies of occultism, spiritual occultism, we will call it and probably should call it to differentiate it from that creepy form of manifestation which is scaring everybody to death and features werewolves, vampires, and cemeteries, you know. No, we have to make occultism appear quite a normality. Remember, the Tibetan just said that there is no esotericism for them. They just simply study and function in the different levels of nature and super nature. We call it occultism because it is hidden from our eyes, the causes and the way of interacting with the different levels is temporarily hidden or therefore occulted from our eyes, but not for the masters. So the timing is probably not worked out in terms of specific years when the appearance of an ashramic group must emerge. But when the need is strong, the order has been established. And I just want to kind of put that in there about the externalization. So maybe we've learned from this little section an important contrast between the emergence of the ashrams historically, and now that they are fairly well organized, though not complete in their 49-ness, we might say, we can contrast their historical appearance with their the sequence of their appearance for the externalization of the hierarchy, which is, it looks like this is the figure for that. So I think that's an important thing to learn. And, you know, we always should say, what have we extracted here? Some really basic financial information coming out of the, or related to, the third ray ashram. And DK is not really writing on that ray, so he's, well, he is in a sense, but not in the usual preoccupation of the third ray. In terms of the abstract mind, he's using the third ray. But the very practical ownership and use of resources is another matter specifically handled by the third ray ashram. He speaks of atomic energy and the reformation of the monetary system. And this character, very interesting, as part of the third ray ashram, something we should have in mind, I think, the adjuster of finances. Goodness, we really need that now, but conditions have not changed enough, except for him to work behind the scenes. If you put together positive influences with negative, reactive, reactionary influences, you'll just get a conflict and a huge waste of energy. So I think the masters try to avoid that. And the whole idea that ashramic work at present is largely educational, and that a few ashrams, or at least their chosen representatives from 2 and 1 and 5, have to emerge so that the other ashrams can slowly come into visibility on the physical plane. The Aquarian Age will be an age of wonder compared to what we know at this time. Already the fifth ray is making amazing things possible, and I'm not just talking about our exploration of space, but look what it's done to the possibilities of communication. Look, here I am, you know, talking to you and to others, and you to me and to others, based upon what the fifth ray has offered. And we're using it, and how it can develop. It tends to develop very rapidly, and that's why it has to be watched to keep it in balance with the other rays. And that's why from about 1950 to the year 2000, for all the scientific advancement we made, that fifth ray was withdrawn from its own independent nature and made subsidiary to the general third ray for those, at least for those 50 years. So, I think now we have an idea about laying the foundation with the 2, 1, and 5. And maybe the 2 bringing right human relations and the 1 bringing the sense of synthesis and the 5 bringing know-how, a foundation is laid for the slow appearance of the other other rays. And no doubt we will be, as ongoing disciples in the Aquarian Age, we will be involved there until all the ashrams have emerged and the different ray types have been synthesized, and they will all work cooperatively with each other, and they will benefit each other. Okay, friends, I think it's a little more than an hour here, but there's a new section coming up, approach towards externalization in the disciples' consciousness, okay? And that's what we will undertake next, probably not today. Right now, I just want to move things around a little bit so I know where to start. I hope you can abide that, or just turn it off while all this housekeeping is going on. But you know, do take time to review the major sections presented by DK. And you know, that's the way we will be informed. And by the way, I just noticed this thing here, that the schools may be a secondary activity now, but it is a temporary consideration. The schools will be very important once things are settled and the emergence of a truly occult masonry and the emergence of a truly spiritually esoteric church, they will no longer be secondary. And I just want to point that out too, that for the master and his group, his disciples, there's no such thing as esotericism. Now that's really worth pondering, because they do not make these artificial lines of cleavage and distinction that we do. And knowledge passes into wisdom for us as we study and combine both the exoteric and the esoteric, and realize it's just basically a continuum. All right. So naturally, we're not going to go on further now. And this is the end of number 74. It's about 1 hour and 10 minutes, roughly. And it's page 579 to what? 582. Just a few pages. Okay. And we'll go on with program 75. We don't know how long it will last. We'll start at 582, which, well, yeah, it's 582. And 582, 583, and it will be sometime. The other programs that have to be presented also demand their due. So we'll be taking up a very interesting subject, approach towards externalization in the disciple's consciousness. All right. We'll see what he has to say about that. So lots of love, many blessings, study hard, meditate deeply, and serve as best you can in the place you are called upon to serve. And we'll see you before long. Okay. Bye-bye.